Who are you?
I'm Afrika Bambaataa, the godfather of hip-hop last millennium, the Amun-Ra of universal hip-hop culture this millennium.
And Afrika Bambaataa, who'd you have beside you?
This is the great man that they call, and he can speak for himself.
Emperor Kumanzi I, King Kumanzi, Universal Zulu Nation International Spokesman and MC. Peace.
Afrika Bambaataa, is hip-hop's birthday really November 12th, 1974?
Well, hip-hop birthday that we say is November 12th is when we decided to call this whole culture hip-hop. Hip-hop even goes further than that, but when we decided to name it hip-hop as a culture, meaning with the B-boys, the B-girls, the MCs, the aerosol writers, graffiti artists, and the DJs, and that fifth element that holds it all together, what we say in the Universal Zulu Nation, is the knowledge. Knowledge, culture, and overstanding.
Now, why November 12, 1974? What's the significance of that date?
Well, that's the date that I decided we should name this as a whole culture and start moving from there. And November is the time where people used to party inside in the centers or community gymnasiums or many of the inside clubs that we had, and where people will come and have a enjoyment time, and everybody got together and got down to the hip-hop music that was being played by all the great pioneers at that time.
Afrika Bambaataa, what can you tell me about breakbeats? What are breakbeats?
Breakbeats is that certain part of the records that makes the audience get crazy on the dance floor. It could be just a few seconds. It could be a minute long, but you take it and you extend it, and it's a lot of breakbeats. Now, today, breakbeats are a whole lot of different things. They call them drum and bass breakbeats. They had the breakbeats of the certain songs of funk records, rock records, hip-hop records, soca records, anything that has that certain sound, that certain beat, that certain bass, that certain grunt, that certain movement of the record that just makes different sounds when you scratch it. These are all part of the breakbeat sound.
Afrika Bambaataa, one particular breakbeat I wanted to ask you about was this one. What can you say about the importance of the incredible Bongo Band's breakbeat?
Well, this is the national anthem for all hip-hop people, especially the B-boys and the B-girls. This is one of the songs that Kool Herc and myself used to play back in the day, and the Grandmaster Flash, Bongo Rock, and Ina Gita Vada, and all the drum beats that was coming from this great group, the incredible Bongo Band. Many good sounds on this album. And this is one of the albums that you used to get cheap for $1.99, then many of the stores have started selling from $25 to $30 to $50 just for this album. So a great album, a great group, and a great sound.
Afrika Bambaataa, if you turn the record over, I wanted to point something out. Check out where this record was actually recorded in...
Well, I don't know. It was a really recorded in Vancouver. This looked like, because I never seen this on here before. So somebody might have just put that there.
No, it's really recorded in Vancouver. Michael Viner's incredible Bongo Rock is recorded here in Vancouver. So does that mean Vancouver's kind of ground zero for hip hop then?
I don't know, because on my old albums, I never seen that on here. So I couldn't say it was recorded. Some people say it was recorded in the West Indies. Others say it was recorded in England. So it's hard to say. It's the first time I ever seen that on there. So
no, it's really recorded in Vancouver.
That's what you say, but that's not what I seen years ago.
No, it really is. I'm not joking. The musicians may not have been from Vancouver, but it really was recorded.
I couldn't tell you, because back then we didn't have that special thanks to Camp Bay Studio Vancouver. This looked like this was just put on here.
No, it wasn't. But this is an important record, though.
Important record, but I don't remember seeing that on my album. My original albums was nowhere on there.
Afrika Bambaataa, I wanted to also ask you about New York. In the 1970s, the early 70s, how many abandoned buildings were there? I've read there was like about 6,000 abandoned buildings in New York. What was it like back then?
Well, I don't know what area part that they was abandoned. Certain part of the South Bronx was abandoned, but in my area, you had many buildings. It wasn't like what they said, broken glass everywhere, like in the messes. You know, we had a lot of projects, a lot of housing development houses and things in my area. So you had a little section that had abandoned buildings in certain parts, and maybe in Harlem and Brooklyn. But then later on, people fighting like crazy to get back to the Bronx now, because it's upswinging and all type of nationalities and races are moving in like crazy.
Afrika Bambaataa, was it like the movie Blade Runner?
No, it was nothing like Blade Runner.
What was it like back then in the Bronx with all those abandoned buildings? What was it really like? Because you were a warlord. What was it like back then?
Why everybody keeps saying, like, abandoned buildings? You know, if it was abandoned buildings, then where was everybody living? So you don't go for that. That's just a story that many people are trying to put out. It had some abandoned buildings, but you had a lot of buildings where people was living at. You had people who was nurses and doctors. You had other people who was construction workers. It was life there. You had people who was into drugs. You had people that wasn't into drugs. The same in anywhere else, just like Vancouver has a drug problem. So, you know, we had many things over there. You had abandoned buildings, and you had buildings that where people lived at.
Afrika Mbata, what's the importance of Blackout 77 to hip-hop?
Well, Blackout 77 got nothing to deal with to hip-hop. It's just when the blackout happened in New York, the whole city went crazy. Meaning it was going crazy. They was going to stores. It was chaos. It was wild in the streets. But then everything got back to control, and people was living as they always live to move on in life.
But Afrika Bambaataa, after Blackout 77, weren't there a lot more turntables on the streets? Didn't a lot of people go into stores and take turntables during Blackout 77?
No, not true. Whoever came with that is talking a lot of BS.
I read that in the book, Yes, Yes, Yes.
Yeah, well, Yes, 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 got to get it together. That don't even sound right in his act.
Afrika Bambaataa, what is the correlation between doo-wop and hip-hop?
Well, doo-wop was the sound when people used to be in the street corners and they used to get in harmonies and used to be singing, had a lot of soul. And then hip-hop is where people was taking the certain beats and groove that might have been in doo-wop and adding it to a break beat and started to funk it up in the hip-hop community. And now you got hip-hop music that's happening.
Did any doo-wop groups give any hip-hop groups any respect in the 70s?
Well, you had some doo-wop groups that loved it or what we was doing, and you had some people who, not just doo-wop, but people that was into professionalism that claimed that, oh, this not even music, it's going to be a fad, it's going to fade away, but look, hip-hop is still here, and it's definitely going to take over the universe.
That's right.
Afrika Bambaataa, you were one of the originators of the block party. What's the importance of a lamp post and a block party?
Well, a block party is when you go out and you set up your equipment, your DJ equipment, your turntables and the speakers and all that, and you try to get the power. Either you could get power from somebody else's home by getting long extension cords, or you could take the power straight from a lamp post.
Afrika Bambaataa, is this right here the very first rap record right here, King Tim III? Can you tell me? I'm only wondering, what is the first rap record?
Well, it depends on how you're looking at rap. We could say this is the first of, started with the first rapping that led up to what we call hip-hop. So King Tim III from the Fatback Band was the first rap record that came out on a 12-inch. But if you want to get and dig deeper, we could look at Pig Meat Marking when he made Here Come the Judge. We could go back in the 60s and look at Shirley Ellis when she did the Name Game and the Clapping Song. You could go to the Three Dogs Nights when they did Joy to the World. You could go to the Sly and the Family Stone's Dance to the Music album hit on the B-side when he was rapping. And all the James Brown records, Call and Response records, was rap records. Go back to Bo Diddley. I mean, rap could go so far back, but this is the first of what we started with, coming out with what you know today as hip-hop culture. Started with the Fatback Band doing their first rap record out there.
Whatever happened to King Tim III? Do you ever see him around? What happened to him?
You gotta ask the Fatback Band.
Did you ever see him back in the day, King Tim III?
Only when he was doing his little disco shows when they was doing, because this was the start of with the disco rapping. Then when Sugar Hill came with the Rapper's Delight, came more towards the hip-hop style of rapping.
Afrika Bambaataa, who were some of the great unrecorded rappers, hip-hop artists?
Unrecorded is a great one by the name of Super Nature. Very, very, very funky brother that he could just look at certain things you had, a telephone or a key or a picture, and just started rapping and rhyming and drawing down on the words. And there's another brother that started doing some recording afterwards by the name of Immortal Technique, which is heavy on the political tip.
Afrika Bambaataa, did Run DMC mark the end of the golden age of hip-hop?
Run DMC is the second, the third wave of the hip-hop culture that started out, that took it a little further when we did Time Zone's World Destruction, the first rock record with hip-hop, and then came Walk This Way with Aerosmith, the second record, and they just took it to other elements and other vibrations that they gave to the people with their style of hip-hop.
Afrika Bambaataa, how did punk rock help pave the way for hip-hop?
Well, punk rock didn't pave the way for hip-hop, but punk rockers were the first of the white people who started respecting and loving the sound of hip-hop. It was at the same time when hip-hop was coming out. Punk rock was the people who was being against what how rock music was supposed to be made or played. And the same with hip-hop was against all the disco after a while to show you how the funk's supposed to be made and played. So they both started liking each other, especially when the University Zulu Nation started playing in many of these new wave clubs, and everybody started intermingling with each other.
Afrika Bambaataa, of course you did World of Destruction with Johnny Rotten, the original punk rocker. What other punk rock groups had you seen before that? What was the first punk group that you saw?
Well, I worked with John Lydon, Public Image. He was also known as the Sex Pistols. I also knew Blondie, Debbie Harry. We knew Susie and the Banshees, Adam Ant, Billy Idol, all these groups that was happening at the time, the Romantics, the Ramones, you know, a lot of people that used to come by my clubs when we used to play and DJ back in the day.
Afrika Bambaataa, what can you tell me about this particular new wave slash punk band that's been heavily sampled? What's the importance of ESG?
ESG is one of the first records that I started playing with a song called UFO, and these are some sisters and brothers straight from the Bronx that had a different sound than all the other music that was happening in the Bronx. And it was the UFO record that I was pumping all over the place that started a lot of hip-hop DJs to jump on their record and made them get big. And a lot of other records that they came afterwards, we just kept that sound flowing because they had a little funky sound that was hot.
And they weren't necessarily hip-hop, were they? They were more new wave sort of punk, weren't they?
It was like new wave punk funk. Something like Rick James, the punk funk king.
Afrika Bambaataa, you're the godfather of hip-hop, but aren't you also the godfather of crunk?
Well, I'm the godfather of crunk. Don't know nothing about the crunk because I ain't dealing with the crunk. So you got to speak to my man that they call Dr. Dre and Big Little John and all the posse down there in Miami that dealing with the crunk, crunk, crunk. But I'm the godfather of hip-hop culture, last millennium, the armor of universal hip-hop culture, this millennium.
I would say, Afrika Bambaataa, you are the godfather of crunk because the 808 drum machine, you're the first person to bring that to record in a hip-hop style, and Little John's still doing that today. If it wasn't for Afrika Bambaataa, there'd be no crunk.
Well, crunk is depending on how you're looking at what is crunk. So we want you to go back to research what the word crunk mean and what he really was talking about. The 808 is the electro-funk sound, and Little John was doing electro-funk back in the early days with Jermaine Dupri, with Shorty Lee, My Way, and My Boo. So he's very well versed on the electro-funk sound.
Afrika Bambaataa, who was Pambaataa?
Pambaataa was one of the Zulu queens who was hot back in the day. She was a female DJ and an MC that used to shock the house and turn the mother out.
Afrika Bambaataa, again, beside you, who do you have?
The great Emperor King Kamazi.
Peace.
From the Zulu Nation.
From the University Zulu Nation. It was also on Dark Matter, Moving at the Speed of Light. Got that vibe and many other songs on the album.
So he's the version of the Zulu Nation in the 21st century. What did the 20th century Zulu Nation look like? Was there some ski goggles involved in the Zulu Nation?
Was the ski goggles involved in the Zulu Nation, brother?
Well, when we talk about hip-hop gear, we take anything, whether it's ski goggles or scully cap. We can make any style hip-hop. What you're wearing now, we could flip and make it hip-hop. So there was ski goggles, there was gloves, there was all type of stuff. Whatever you wanted was hip-hop.
And it's all about fashion. It's all about the movement, how you speak, how you walk, how you talk, how you look, the vibration. And remember, none of this will happen if you ain't dealt with the fifth element of hip-hop, and that's the knowledge.
That's right. Afrika Bambaataa, Are there any Canadian members of the Zulu Nation? What Canadian members are there of the Zulu Nation?
There's Canadian members. We have a large chapter over there in Toronto. We have some of the brothers and sisters over there in Montreal. And there's a few that's out here sprinkling throughout Vancouver. So, you know, there's a lot of happening up here in the Canadian. And big ups to all Missy and all them that was up, Missy Lee and all them that was up here back in the early days who pioneered hip-hop for Canadian type of hip-hop culture up here.
Missy Me.
That's right.
Afrika Bambaataa, the dance floor is empty. How do you get the dance floor full? What song might you play?
Got to play the funk. Anything that brings that funk, because funk is is your own reward. Without the funk, you become a dip that becomes a piece of... Excuse me.
But any specific song at all, Afrika Bambaataa? Any specific
anything
song?
Anything by James Brown. Put James Brown on that, the floor's going to get hot.
Afrika Bambaataa.
Public Enemy.
There's been a
fight. Run the MC. Dr. Dre. Ow!
Afrika Bambaataa. Uh-huh. There's been a fight on the dance floor. Then you have to go do some DJing. What song do you put on after a fight on the dance floor?
Well, you know, we try to stop the fight, and when they fight, and we try to get people to calm their situation down. We try to bring them back to peace, unity, love, and having fun. Try to let them know what hip-hop's all about, and fighting would only destroy it and makes other people who try to say hip-hop, all it brings is violence. They have to understand is that's individualism that's bringing and causing problems in that, or certain rappers that they're trying to blame. You can't blame all people that's into hip-hop culture. Say if one rapper did something wrong, see what them hip-hop people do? No, that's just a rapper doing his thing. When you say hip-hop, you're talking about all the culture.
Afrika Bambaataa, but what's a particular song that'll calm people down?
It's hard to say. There's many great records that could calm people down. You know, you could go back into the Credible Bungle Band.
Recorded in Vancouver.
Well, that's what he said, in Vancouver. Or you could go back into some James Brown, Sex Machine, or you could go to some Public Enemy, or you could go to some of what's happening now with Missy Elliott. You know, music make you lose control.
Afrika Bambaataa, the great thing about you is you've always experimented and played the most wild, incredible tunes. Have you ever played and have you ever met Muhammad Ali and this particular record, Muhammad Ali versus Mr. Tooth Decay?
Well, this old album that I got here, Muhammad Ali when he's speaking to the kids and trying to get people to
brush their teeth.
Brush their teeth and to take care of their teeth and stuff. And Muhammad Ali's a deep brother that's, you know, the whole history. You can research on Muhammad Ali on the internet and many books and movies about this great man. And Muhammad Ali also seen UFOs.
Now, you wouldn't be afraid to play something like this on the dance floor, would you?
If it's funky, if it got breakbeat on there, I play this joke. I play the most weirdest, crazy stuff that you will ever see or hear on the dance floor.
Did you ever meet Wilt Chamberlain at all?
Wilt Chamberlain? No, I haven't met him.
How about the village people, Afrika Bambaataa?
Village people, I've met them and seen their show and seen them in the Donna Summer movie? They made some, I can't remember the movie.
Can't Stop the Music, maybe?
Can't Stop the Music, you know, it was a good movie that they was in. And they used to rock the house for the disco era at the time. In fact, in the early hip-hop days, the only two groups that we could play that was still left out of the disco was the Village People and Donna Summer.
That is great. The Village People get some props from Afrika Bambaataa. Thank you.
All right.
Afrika Bambaataa, did you ever meet Kraftwerk?
Many times. That was my group.
What was the interaction between Afrika Bambaataa, Planet Rock, and Kraftwerk?
Well, Kraftwerk was one of the groups who I idolized and liked a lot, from bringing the techno pop, or what Yellow Magic Orchestra was saying, that it was techno pop. So it was Yellow Magic Orchestra, Kraftwerk, and Gary Numan, and a man by the name of John Carpenter that brought you your Halloween soundtrack movies, and Dick Hyman, who I used to check all their different music. And I said, you know, we need some electro funk made from this sound that was the techno pop. And thus came from the Sly and the Family Stone and the James Brown and the George Clinton Parliament Funkadelic, blessing me to have that funk to make the birth of electro funk with myself, Arthur Baker, John Roby, and the Soul Sonic Force.
Afrika Bambaataa, what did Kraftwerk think of you? Like, what did they think of you sampling their record? And what was it like when you first met them? What did they have to say to you?
Well, Kraftwerk was cool. He was cool. We would met up in a club in Paris. We were supposed to do some songs. There's some books I've seen where they was dissatisfied, where they had their little troubles and beef with Arthur Baker and them, but everything got cool. Me and them as musicians, we was cool with each other, and we never sampled the record. It's played live. That's how bad John Robey it is. Everybody think it was sampled, but he played that sucker so good that people thought it was like a sample record. At that time, it wasn't sampling. We had live musicians that just knew how to draw down on them synthesizers.
Afrika Bambaataa, did you ever do any DJing with 50 Cent in the audience? What does 50 Cent think of Afrika Bambaataa? Did you ever see him when he was growing up at all?
You would have to go and ask 50 Cent what he thinks of Afrika Bambaataa. I don't know what he thinks of Afrika Bambaataa, but I like some of his music. Only thing that I got to speak to my brother, 50 Cent, come holler.
Afrika Bambaataa, winding up here. Another thing which I think is amazing, aside from playing any sort of tune, you're also into William Cooper, who believes there's going to be an alien invasion. But it's not aliens, it's actually the government flying UFOs. What do you know about government-controlled UFOs?
Well, for many people, you just go to www.zulunation.com and look on the Books for Your Mind list. There are many things that's out here. We are not alone. And then there's a book that's called 50 Years of Repression, which is showing that even Hitler made UFOs back in the days. So there's nothing new to the government, and it's nothing new to your Bible. So if you read your Bible more closely and carefully, and if you go to any ancient culture, especially in Africa or ancient Kemet, which you'll know as Egypt today, you will find out we've been dealing with extraterrestrials for many years, and we'll definitely keep dealing with them as many years to come, because many technology you have today is on alien technology, and it's going to get more deeper as these years come to foe. And look out for, what is it, 2012.
What's happening 2012? Because William Cooper believed on July 5th, 1998 to be an alien invasion, but it didn't happen. So what's happening in 2012?
Well, we really don't know if it has been invasion or not, because as you know, a lot of technology has been definitely moving, so you don't know what's going on, what's walking around here, what people looking like, are the clones in the governments or what up. But it's a much research stuff that you got to go out there and research on. And for many people that think we're alone, you crazy as hell, you're on a plane. Planet. The people say, oh, you really think there's something out there? We are out there. The Earth is out there. And you think that's something, check out the Hollow Earth Theory.
Afrika Bambaataa, anything else you want to add to the people out there at all?
Well, to the people over here on the planet so-called Earth, we want to say you better respect Mother Earth. She is a living entity. If you don't respect Mother Earth, she will spit your ass out. And that's why you had the tsunami. You had the Katrina. You had over 60,000 people who lost their life in earthquakes in Turkey, in Venezuela, over 30,000. And it's going to get more and more funky. That movie, The Day After, was a movie sent by the Creator to make all humans wake up. So you need to go back and watch The Day After 10 times, the same way you need to go back and watch all the Matrix movies over and over 50 times before you get a overstanding.
Afrika Bambaataa, why should people care about Afrika Bambaataa and the Zulu Nation?
Because we are an organization who's an international hip-hop awareness movement that respects all nationalities, respect all type of religions, respect all type of knowledge of thought, and we even respect anything outside our universe, inside our universe, in the universes and in dimensionals and time zone, as well as our subterranean world of beings that are inside our Earth.
Well, thanks very much, Afrika Bambaataa. Really appreciate the time. Keep on rocking in the free world and doot doodaloo doo.
Funk you.